Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome back to another virtual lockdown episode of For Pod's Sake. I'm Louise Boyce, also known as Mama Still Got It, and these podcast series are sponsored by the brilliant award-winning dental practice 10 Dental. From root canals to teeth whitening, it's where I've gone for the last 15 years, and I miss them terribly at the moment, which is something I thought I'd never say about a dentist. But check them out at 10dental.com. Right then, let's get down to it. Today, I'm speaking with someone who I believe will one day be in our history books. This lady legend, check out her CV. She's a journalist, a TED talker, a radio presenter, a flexible working campaigner, best-selling author, mother of two, and founder of Mother Pucker. Please welcome to the mic, Anna Whitehouse. Hey, Anna, how are you, my darling?
Oh, do you want to do my PR? I could do with just waking up like to some of that. I'm like, oh, do I do those things?
You do.
I mean, you know, we were saying before we got on this podcast, like, how are you? How long have you got? How do you even answer that, you know? And I think
I don't I've gone even to,
you can't even say I'm fine, because ultimately we're doing sort of 3 hours of homeschooling a day, 8 hour working day, like 12 hours childcare. That's 23 hours of labor in a 24-hour day. No one's okay.
And actually
in the context of a pandemic,
it is crazy. And then the fact that you said you're doing 3 hours of homeschooling every day has actually made me go, oh my god, I need to up my game.
My friend, can I just say that translates to, I put them in front of Peppa Pig this morning to do a phone call, and I think they were watching the Poker Channel. So I'm just packaging that as key stage two maths, and we're done.
Oh, that's so fine.
TV.
Good. Right. So you've already got two best-selling books under your belt, Where's My Happy Ending and Parenting the Shit Out of Life. Both brilliant, by the way. Love them both. You've now managed to find time whilst homeschooling and working to write your fiction debut called Quarantine, which is perfectly timed and named for these unprecedented stint of madness. Tell us, what is the book about?
Well, it's basically been an excuse for Matt and I to have time away from the children, because all our work dropped off a cliff as soon as lockdown happened, really. And we were meant to do a book on flex appeal for the Pound Project. That's where it started. But actually, once we went into lockdown, we realised there's going to be so much about this time that we will be out of date by the time it comes out. So we couldn't really write anything about flexible working, because in 24 hours, the whole world didn't become flexible, but went remote. So we parked that and thought, well, what else? We're contracted to do this job. What else can we write about? And really, it was us breaking together and kind of holding onto each other in the context of death tolls and food slots and children screaming and, you know, me crying and him having tantrums. I think it felt like we wanted to put the human story among all the news scrolling, the actual behind what's happening behind closed doors, what's happening behind TikTok, behind the veneer of social media. Like, what is actually happening in this banal, domestic, like, intense time? Because we were definitely going from extreme highs, children laughing and goofing around, and one of the children saying, "What's wrong with your face?" to Matt. His beard had just kind of nearly got to the point where it joined his eyebrow. There was so much overgrowth. To crashing lows, you know, when we, I think we've all had it. Anybody listening right now will have had the same lows of not being able to compute the global situation.
And being angry after a while.
Angry, confused, hurt, starting to see a drop in the death toll as a good thing, but actually, you know, I got to the point where I thought, oh, that's, we've had an okay day, there's only been, and you're like, no, that
isn't that terrible. I know, like the
it's still been
incredible. Become numbers rather than actual people. I remember taking notes on the death toll and then actually thinking, well, that's actually somebody's mother, brother, auntie, grandparent, and
it's never a good, there's never a better day. You know, I think that was it, is I kept searching for positives, as I think probably did, and there was never a better day or an uplift. And this is really to just capture the brokenness of the kind of family spirit, but also the uplift of community around us. We really wanted to just pour that all into a short story.
Fantastic. And it can be bought through a platform called The Pound Project, which is an independent crowdfunding publisher. So you can buy your book online for a pound, is that right?
You can,
and then you can buy the, you can buy a print for £5, is that right?
Yeah, you've done your research.
I've done my research. So tell us why you decided to use this this publisher. I mean, it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, so we decided to, well, we wanted to do a manifesto for FlexAppeal, and FlexAppeal just isn't an epic tome. You know, it was something we wanted to be very short to be able to hand to HR directors. And like I said, just in the context of everything having changed, we were still contracted to write that. So it was really meant as a vehicle for FlexAppeal. But we repurposed it to fit with the current times. I think we've all had to be quite light on our feet. And, you know, it has been really good, because I wrote and poured all the frustration I have with Matt, and he did the same with me, into this book, from, you know, the beard trimmings in the sink, right the way through to, you know, just gently squabbling over one of you having chosen the wrong Netflix series that you didn't do enough research into, all these domestic arguments that are happening in the context of such a serious situation. You know, there's a really dark comedy to it all.
It's something that we can all relate to. I mean, all of us can relate to it right now. And for anyone listening right now, most of my listeners are mothers. I think we all have the same question: is how did you find the time to write this book, and what hacks can you give us to stay focused on a lockdown project?
Yeah, I mean, it's we keep saying after we've written three books together now, we keep saying after each one, going, we're just never doing that again. It's horrible. Horrific. I mean, nothing prepares you for seeing your partner's red pen through your words. It's horrible. You know, and I think we haven't done a good job in terms of managing this. We I think, as most people probably have had to carve out time for each other, whether that's an hour here or an hour there. And actually, we've used that time, because writing to us is cathartic, and it's been almost like a dear diary experience. So I think it's a different project, maybe, to what a lot of other people will be working on, and we use this as our downtime, really. But in terms of productivity in lockdown, we felt just putting an out of office on when we finish work. So like, when you finish this podcast, it's like Louise just puts an out of office on. It's quite simple, but it bookends that day. It makes you feel less stressed, because people know you're not there. And I think that constant need to be on is one of the real downfalls of all of the whole world working remotely is I think people aren't switching off. So I think if you don't switch yourself off, no one else will.
I don't think I ever switch off. And I think that's where I'm going wrong. I'm trying to cook for the kids and do homeschooling, but also answer emails. And at the moment I've got to actually shoot from home, and it's a disaster at the moment. I need to structure my day to make it work better for me, because at the moment I'm just getting myself angry, and then I'm worried that that anger goes on to the kids. I mean, because it's half term right now, in my head I'm like, it's okay if they're watching TV all day, because, you know, I don't have to homeschool them now because it's half term. So that's how I'm getting myself around the whole got to work from home this week.
Matt said he's got like the words fuck off in his esophagus, just ready to go at any given time. And he said,
for fuck's sake.
He said, it's just waiting there. And he said, often it's an inanimate object that gets it. But he said he's really scared that there'll be something the kids do and it will just come out. Because he was telling my youngest off the other day, and he was sort of being quite stern. And she, in his face, just looked at him and she went, rah, 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 fuck it. Oh god, I was like, this is what lockdown is doing to us. They're just picking up all the things we do and say, and that we had to gently sit her down. No darling, not fuck it, not fuck it.
Yes, it's the thing, they sound so cute when they swear. That's,
I know, it's so cute.
And back to the book, when can we can only buy it for a few more days, so we've got into what, June 2nd. So, okay, so anyone listening, buy it now. It's fantastic. And after June 2nd,
it's gone.
It's gone.
You won't be able to ever get it again. So they do these one-off projects. They did their last work with Sebastian Faulks, Dolly Alderton, Pandora Sykes, Jonah Freud, Emma Gannon. They've done these just small projects. And the whole point is something that it's something that's close to my heart, is that JP, who launched it, believes that people should be paid for their words. And we're in a world of free online content that can sometimes devalue the written word, can devalue the work of journalists, and they're trying to get paid. You know, they've built careers on that. They've studied journalism. They've gone through a lot of hoops to get there. And you get to this point where then suddenly everybody's a writer. And that's not to say people shouldn't be writing, but those that have trained in it, you know, JP firmly believes that, you know, the value of the written word in a sea of free online content needs to be raised.
Absolutely. I love that. You know, William Shakespeare wrote King Lear during the plague, and Anna and Matt have written Quarantine. So if you're a fan of their books, which I am, I know you're going to love this one too.
Shakespeare didn't have any children around, did he? But if he had our two kids, I don't think he'd have written that. I think he'd have got a tiny little sonnet out or something, like a couple of words.
Maybe.
In between requests for the Peppa Pig spoon.
Oh, always. Bloody Peppa Pig. I've loved them, but well, it's been 8 years. I've been watching the same episode. Right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi guys, welcome back. As I'm sure you know, Anna has been campaigning for flexible working for the past 5 years. Is it 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years.
So some people originally scoffed at the idea. I know you have an online troll called Gordon who says it was just a mummy issue. But in today's climate, is the term WFH now just W?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a very big difference between enforced remote working and effective flexible working. You know what everybody keeps saying, well, you know, you don't have to do anything now, you know, you can put your feet up, it's done. And I was like, well, no, there's still a long way to go. This is just proving that the tech's there to facilitate it. And when companies have the threat of money being swept off the table, it's funny how quickly they can zoom in, otherwise they'd have to shut down. So I think all we've seen is that. And what's frustrated me more than anything, and I've heard from a lot of people about this, is that there are a lot of people living with disabilities who were told they could not do a job remotely. This job just could not be done remotely. And so what a lot of people I've spoken to have said is that what they've found is how offensive it is that suddenly in a 24-hour period when money is being threatened in any way by a big company, that suddenly they can implement some form of flexibility. So the truth is that they did not want people living with disabilities to work for them. And that is in the face of companies that have, you know, D&I, diversity and inclusion officers, they've got all the family friendly banners and they're saying all the right things, but not doing anything to back it up. And I think that's really the bit I want to center on and focus on is, you know, remote working isn't flexible working. Flexible working is being inclusive, is ensuring that you can allow anyone, talented individuals to work anywhere for business benefit. So I think that's really where we are. But yeah, I pray for the day we don't even have to talk about flexible working, that it's just weaved into the fabric of our working world.
Well, I feel like the, you know, it really is starting to evolve that way. Like in the 70s, Peter Drucker said that one day we'd look at office buildings the same way we look at the pyramids, and Douglas Copeland said that 9 to 5 is barbaric. And then today we've got Jacinda Ardern and Nicola Sturgeon who have suggested that employers consider a 4-day working week, and more companies, I guess now as well, in this pandemic, we're realizing that productivity is up and trust between employer-employee are becoming a better relationship, because I think that was part of the problem, that people didn't trust each other if they were working from home.
No, it was the common kickback I got was, oh, but you know, everybody's going to be just sitting in their undercrackers watching Homes Under the Hammer. And it's like, look, that person would be the individual who was stalking their ex on Facebook. You know, that is a recruitment issue. That's not a flexible working issue. You need
Absolutely.
To align between the two. Why are you not employing people you trust? That's got to be the bigger question. Don't use a couple of bad eggs to bring everybody else down. And I was actually talking to Holly Tucker this morning, founder of Holly & Co. and Not on the High Street. And she just said the shift she's seen as a manager is that she's not having to sort of own people's time anymore. There's a relationship, as you said. And, you know, we were doing, I think, 468 hours of unpaid overtime a year. That was last year, 2019. So flexible working has been working, but it's just been one-way traffic towards the employer. And I think, you know, the baseline for me is that there's nobody who feels they have to email the intimate details of a need for a cervical smear test or some gynecological appointment to their employer because their employer doesn't trust them. So they feel they have to go into great detail on why they need to go to the doctor. You know, it is, I think Douglas Copeland is right. And I think what he added to that quote was the 9-to-5 is barbaric. And I truly believe we will look back on it as we do child slavery in the 18th century. And I don't think he's far off. It's an extreme statement to make, but actually we're in it right now.
Yeah.
And we can't actually stand back and see it. But our TED talk was all about drawing parallels between battery hens and the fact that free range hens produce better eggs. They're bigger. They're better.
Yeah.
It's really simple, but people work better when they're free.
Absolutely. And that was coming on to my next question. So there must be a link between mental health and flexibility, obviously.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, we are going to be facing I don't want to be too depressed about this, but it's going to be a mental health crisis at the back end of lockdown. You know, we're going to be coming into a very different world. And we stated from the start, you know, that flexible working isn't for mummies. And that was the kickback I constantly got and I still get because my name is Mother Pucker and I can understand, you know, why people would think that. But our coalition with Pregnant Then Screwed, the Fawcett Society, TUC, Fatherhood Institute, is about flexible working being available for everyone from day one, not after 26 weeks. So you have to kind of earn it like a bonus ball or a nice to have. Mm. It's something that should be fundamentally there from the start so that there's not a sense of you, Louise, having got a job where you've got flexible working and then feeling you can never leave that job because your childcare's sorted around that. And then another employer would say, no, you have to sit in this job for 26 weeks and we might give it to you. You're never going to move jobs. So you're stunting talent, you know, because what people happen to have a disability, happen to have caring responsibilities, happen to live with anxiety and can't get on a tube in the morning on a packed train. Like there are so many reasons. And I think the point that I keep coming back to is this isn't about you or I. This is a much bigger issue, and it comes down to something a dad said to me the other day. He said, you know, I put my flexible working request in to my boss, and my boss said, well, you know, can't your missus do that? And he said, well, you know, she's a brain surgeon, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays she kind of has stuff to do. And it's not to say that you have to be a brain surgeon for your partner to be able to get flexible working, but it was just such a clear point of unconscious bias that still exists at the top, regardless of how many people are talking about flexible working. Talk means nothing.
I totally agree. And just hearing you say these words out loud, I'm sitting here thinking, how are we even, why is this even happening? Like, we're human beings. Like, we are here to live and respect each other. And I worked, I went through a time when I worked in an office briefly, and I had a horrendous time. I remember asking my boss if I could leave, and I'm sure I'm saying this because I'm sure lots of people can relate. I remember asking my boss, who is a mother, if I could leave work half an hour early to go and see my three-year-old's Christmas nativity play at his nursery school. And the office was dead. And she said, no. And I sat at my desk, absolutely brokenhearted, fighting back the tears. So what I did, God, I hope she's not listening. I called my mobile from the office phone. I picked it up. I pretended that the nursery had called me to say that my son was sick. So then I could go. And then I actually managed to get to see my son's nativity play. But the guilt of, I had to lie to my boss. I can't put anything on social media because she'll know that I'm lying. And then obviously going in the next day saying, yeah, well, my son's a bit better now and la la la. And I thought, this sucks. Like, I cannot believe that I, as a grown woman and a mother, I have to lie to my employee to say, I want to go and see my son's school play. I could not believe it. And I think lots, you know, that's one excuse. There are so many excuses. And I have got another one, which I'm not going to go into because I think actually it was extremely illegal and I don't want to get this company into trouble. But yeah, there's been lots of reasons why I absolutely think what you're doing is fantastic. And back to you from the moment I joined you doing the flash mob wearing fluorescent spandex in Trafalgar Square.
And I've still got that photo of you. I need to pick that up.
You know, and I think what you've done and how far you've come is incredible. And this pandemic, as awful and horrendous as it is, you know, there is a silver lining of people are realizing that the workplace can change for the better. You know, there are so many, so many big companies that have made a shift. You know, Barclays, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, I'm sure you can roll off more than I can. But even my husband's company, they've got this huge office in Shoreditch, and they've just decided to they're not going to bother going back because they don't need to. They can all work from home.
No, and I think, you know, that's been the big uplift in this, is that people are seeing their families. They're connected to their families for better or worse. You know, that's not saying it's some utopian Waltons, you know, set up. It's definitely not. But, you know, people need people. And yes. I think that has felt very inhuman in the 9-to-5 existence that we've been working in. Yes, I think it's going to be looking to the future to really champion the companies, truly getting behind it, not just putting out a PR puff piece. Yeah. It's making sure that there isn't what you just described breaks my heart, because you felt you had to lie to see your child in a very important moment. And I think, you know, it creates distrust when you own someone, when you strap them to a slab of MDF under a strip light, like a battery hen, and you own them and tell them they can't see they're young. Ultimately, that's what you're doing. And you cannot tend to the sick, or you cannot come into the office if you're in a wheelchair. Mm. You know, there are so many people who are being shut out of the workforce for what? And I think that's the bit when I get kickback consistently from big companies, from, you know, even friends who just say, but I love the 9-to-5. It's like, no. Keep it. If you want to work in the 9-to-5, fine, but give people a choice outside of it. That's what I'm fighting for, is not to abolish it. If you, ironically, I love a 9-to-5. I love a bookend to a day. I'm not the poster girl for flexible working in the way that many people think I am, you know, and I want the 9-to-5 for myself, but I want choice for everyone else. And I think that's the bit that gets missed in this. And actually the simple question is to businesses, this is great for the bottom line. This is great for productivity. It's great for employees. That's all great. But the two points are you a diverse and inclusive employer? Do you want to employ people? And that means everyone, not just the people you decide can come into your office. And secondly, do you want to close the gender pay gap? Because the Equality and Human Rights Commission put flexible working is the primary way to close that gap. And so if you are saying, no, we don't believe in flexible working, or even worse, yes, we do believe in flexible working, but we're not going to probably implement it. We'll just say we are. Either one, then, you know, you're saying no to inclusivity and you're saying no to wanting to close the gender pay gap. It's as simple as that. So, you know, and yeah, you will make more money. Pursuit Marketing in Glasgow doubled profits in 2 years by going down to a 4-day week on the same pay. There's lots of different ways you can do it. And I think that's what we're going to start seeing. But you know, coming back to Gordon, it's not a man bashing exercise at all. It was just his suggestion was peak extreme, in the sense that he said, oh God, but you're probably one of these mummies who could just afford to put their kid in a taxi and send them to a nursery, aren't you? I was like, can you imagine?
I mean, to be honest,
I'd bloody love to. If I could have that service, that'd be great. Can you imagine an Uber driver turning up? You've got like your Weetabix smattered child and you just kind of chuck it in the back without a car seat or anything, you know, because that's kind of how we roll. And just go, yeah, like Strawberry Fields Nursery, just down there, you know, on the right. She'll be right. Just sling her in with a Soreen bar. you know, there's some extreme thoughts about how parenting happens. And I just keep saying to anyone really pushing back in that sense, it's like, where did you come from?
Think where you came from.
It's bigger than business, you know?
Exactly.
You came from someone.
It's shocking. It's shocking, some of the things. Anyway, right, we're going to move to some questions, which I think follow on quite well from what you were saying. So we've got Lisa from Manchester says, I'm 22 and live at home with my parents. I love going to the office to escape life at home and to feel independent. My social life is very much my work life. If I have to work from home, I feel like this may affect my mental health, as a part of my life would be taken away. But as you just said, you're not taken away. It's the choice. It's the option.
Yeah, I think what we're going to see is people ebbing and flowing between office and home. So there won't be, everybody has to be in at 9 a.m. and everybody must, you know, either stay till 9 p.m. to be a good employee, or, you know, leave at 5 p.m. to pick up their child and they're probably a bad employee. Mm. You won't necessarily, you know, it won't all be in unison. So we'll be using tech to, you know, sort of paper over any comms. Mm. But ultimately, we won't be done with HQs. We won't be done with office space. There will always be somewhere for people to work for a company, you know, depending on the size of the company. So I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's a really happy medium where people are more in control of their time. And I think what companies will see is, it's not that people want to suddenly gallop for the hills and never come into the office. They want what I wanted, which was to simply come in 15 minutes earlier and leave 15 minutes earlier without having to ask permission. I don't want to put my hand up in class and ask if I can go to a cervical smear.
Oh, I know. And again, you just saying that, it just makes me think, I don't want my children to go through the same thing in the workplace. And there are so many people who are probably listening who can relate to feeling that guilt, which is ridiculous to say, oh, I've got a dentist appointment, so I've got to leave early. Or even when I was pregnant and you have a midwife appointment, you know, eyes were rolling in the office. I was like, well, I'm still on my phone, you know, I can still work. Anyway, don't get
me. And it's those same people who are questioning, you know, you as an employee, who are questioning also, why? I don't understand why we've got a gender pay gap. What are we doing wrong? And it's like, well, you're scorning a mother going to a 20-week scan. You're maybe creating doubt that she can do her job. You're in a position where there's women miscarrying at their desks because they have a fear of telling their employer, if they feel comfortable doing so, because they might not get a promotion, or they might be overlooked for something, because pregnancy has been this great weight upon businesses, when actually it's not a weight, it's life, it's part of life. And businesses can't keep trampling over that, because, you know, like I said, remember where you came from. Absolutely. And raising the next generation, as we're all working out in lockdown, is far tougher than any job you can chuck me.
Oh my God, it's so hard. It is so hard. Right, a couple more questions. You've actually answered a lot of the questions that we've had come in, so a few more. Jesse from Twickenham asks, do you consider your work pattern flexible? What is your usual week like in terms of working and parenting and balancing the two?
Well, I think, you know, I'm actually about to put a post up in the next few days, just kind of explaining this a little bit more. But I have been overproductive, I would say. I'm not the poster girl for flexible working. You know, I think, weirdly, in trying to make a point, I've completely missed the point. So I think we've tried our best to navigate it, but like you and I were saying before we got on this call, you know, when the truth comes out, we're drowning, you know, we're absolutely drowning in it all. And we don't have, this is where I like the 9 to 5, because actually there is structure to it, but I just want it to be maybe sort of the sort of 7 till 3, you know, that's all I'm asking for, not to change those, but, you know, barometers of when we're working, not barometers, endpoints, bookends. So I think right now I'm not getting it right. And I think a lot of us aren't, because we feel we have to be on all the time. And I'm burning out. I am burnt out. And so I'm going to step back from the 2nd of June. I'm going to take back a lot of the maternity leave that I lost by, sorry, I'm getting a bit teary.
Let it all out.
It's such a like, weird thing to say, but there's such a pressure as a freelancer to just keep going. Mm. And I started working when my littlest was maybe 2 months, and I want that time back. Yeah. And unless I take it back, and unless you listening put those bookends in your day, no one else is going to do it for you. And I think it's a case of recognizing that you can be overproductive when you don't have structure. Absolutely. And actually putting that balance in yourself. So, you know, I'm not pregnant, but I am going on maternity leave as of next week.
I think brilliant. And actually, before lockdown started, I actually I hired a nanny 3 days a week, and I didn't feel ready at all. I think my baby was about 6 months old, and I wasn't ready. But I was like, well, no, you know, work's here, and I've got to take it. And actually, since lockdown, because I now have her all day, every day, I'm loving it. It's love. It's hard, don't get me wrong, you know, with three kids here, but it's lovely to get that time back. And I'm loving it. I'm really, really loving it. So I totally can relate to what you're saying. And you enjoy that maternity leave. You absolutely deserve it. Last question. What is your biggest surprise you've come across with people's attitude to working from home?
I think it would be the fact that they've all got I've had a lot of emails going, wow, it's productivity's up. Like they're surprised, there's excitement, and it's good in so many places. But I've had a lot of naysayers be really humble and open and just saying, I really, you know, wasn't listening to what you were saying, and I didn't realize this would affect us, you know. Yeah. I just saw you as that flex woman who was just piping up every so often. A lot of people just saw me as a mother who was hacked off with a system that wasn't including her, when actually it was a system that wasn't including a lot of people. Mm. And I think the surprise has been that people are surprised.
Yeah.
I've been banging on about it for 5 years, and I'm not, you know, I'm absolutely not the only person talking about this. There's the Flexible Working Task Force at base in Whitehall. They've been really championing this. Time-wise, Working Families, you know, they're Fawcett Society, Pregnant Then Screwed. There's a whole movement towards this. So it's absolutely not just my voice. I'm one of many. So I think it's been surprised that, you know, if they didn't listen to me, why didn't they listen to Working Families, or why didn't they listen to the Fawcett Society? There are a lot of really informed bodies who have the evidence that this will make your company more money and make your people happier. So yeah, I'm surprised that companies are surprised.
Brilliant answer. Right, well, looks like we need to write a new version of Dolly Parton's classic 9 to 5.
The 9 to 5 is barbaric. We'll get another person to write it. It's a bit dark, but we can work on it on TikTok.
We are loving TikTok. Anyway, Anna, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you, you know, on behalf of everybody listening, thank you so much for all the work that you do for this and for writing a brilliant book that is out now. You can buy it. There's a link in her bio, or you can get it from the Pound Project. And you can only get it for another 6 days until June 2nd. And if you want to stay tuned with her Flex Appeal campaign, go to motherpucker.com.
Can I say just quickly how supportive you have been? You're not you don't wear the t-shirt, Women Supporting Women. You're beyond the hashtag. Yeah. So thanks for the support from flash mobs right the way through to lockdown podcasts.
Well, I genuinely think what you're doing is fantastic. You know, bravo, brilliant. And if there was anything more that I could do, I would do it.
I'd give for a flash mob now, eh?
Let's do it. Let's do a naked one. Once again, this podcast is sponsored by Ten Dental, the award-winning dental practice based in South London. Check them out at tendental.com. And as always, please subscribe to this podcast, rate and review. It's all very much appreciated. Thanks for listening. I'm Louise Boyce. Find me on Instagram and TikTok now at mumstillgotitwith_. See you again soon. Bye. And Anna, again, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.